Hello, everybody. Thank you for joining the story of the day. Today we have an amazing story. It's a story about the Rebbe Maharash. His real name was not Maharash, but rather it stands for Reb Shmuel. And he lived probably about 1860. Or so, in Russia, and he often would go in his carriage, that is, like a wagon, they called it a carriage, not a baby carriage, of course, but they would call it a carriage. It means like a kind of a fancy wagon, not like a work wagon that a farmer would use to carry hay, but a nice wagon with a nice place to sit for the driver and a nicer place to sit probably for the passenger. And some of the carriages actually had a whole roof and windows and doors. I don't know exactly what kind of carriage it was. I think it was a fairly simple type of carriage. So the Rebbe Maharash would often go in this carriage and visit the Yidden that lived around the village of Lubavitch. Lubavitch was actually a village or a town in Russia, and there were several Chabad Rebbes over the years who lived there. And there was other towns in which Jews lived around Lubavitch. And so often, the Rebbe Maharash would be driven in his carriage, in his, I think the Yiddish word for it is agala, actually a Jewish word, Hebrew word, agala. He would be driven in his agala around these different towns. One day, he came to a certain home in a little village, and he got out, and he knocked on the door, and there was just two little boys in the house, no adults. And the little boys, of course, recognized the rabbi right away, and they asked him to come in, and he began to speak with them. And he said, "What are you learning?" And the big one said, "I'm learning Chumash." The little one said, "I'm learning how to read. I'm learning how to read the words of Tehillim." So the Rebbe Maharash said, "Please bring me a Sefer Tehillim. I want to hear you read." And so they brought a Sefer Tehillim. And the three of them together began to say Tehillim. They said Tehillim together for a while. In the middle, the mother came into the house, but she didn't come into the room where the Rebbe was saying Tehillim with the boys. As soon as she came in the house and she heard their voices, she was very surprised at how beautiful the saying of the Tehillim sounded. And she looked and she saw to her great surprise that the Rebbe was in her house. Never happened before that the Rebbe would come into her house. And she was just watching and listening. The voice of the Rebbe saying Tehillim and the voice of the two boys saying Tehillim all mixed together into a beautiful, beautiful sound. And she felt a very deep feeling in her heart from the saying of Tehillim. She watched them, and they said Tehillim for a while. And then the Rebbe Maharash said, "Good. That's very good." And he began to walk out the door. All of a sudden, he stopped, and he turned to the boys, and he said, "Let us say some more Tehillim." And they said, "More Tehillim." And then he said, "Good." And he left. Well, the mother and the wife, of course, of her husband, their father, was wondering why the Rebbe came in to say Tillim with her boys. Now that morning, her husband had left the house in the morning to go and do a part of the job. You see, he had an inn, a little hotel. And people would come in and stop there and eat. And of course, they'd have to pay for the food. But sometimes the customers just didn't have enough money to pay for the food right then. And so the innkeeper would keep track of how much they owed him. And once in a while, he would go around and collect the money that people owed him. And that morning, he'd gone out to collect money from some of the customers, some of the non-Jewish customers. And some of them were nicer people. Some of them were not such nice people. I'm sure some of them were Jewish. Most of them were not Jewish. They were mostly farmers who lived in the area. And now it was already late in the afternoon, and he had not come back yet. It was not such a far distance to the homes that he was going to visit. And so she began to get worried. And she got more worried and more worried and more worried. After a while, it became night. Her husband never stayed out this late when he was going out to collect money that people owed him. And it got later, and it got later, and it got later. Finally, it was midnight, the middle of the night. And by now, the wife and mother was very, very, very worried. She had a very, very worried feeling in her heart. A knock came on the door. She ran to the door. She heard a voice, the voice of her husband say, "It's me, please open the door." She opened the door and he came in all breathless and exhausted. And he came into the house and he fainted. What's the matter? She ran and got some cold water and poured it on his face and shook him and called his name. He woke up and she took care of him and got him maybe some hot tea, maybe put him near the fireplace with a nice warm fire, or some, get some soup. After a while, he felt better and he told her what happened. He said, "I went to one particular person, a non-Jewish farmer, and I told him how much he owed me. It was a lot of money because all year long he had not paid for any of the food or drink which he had at our inn, at our little hotel that we have in the house. And he kept telling me, when the harvest comes at the end of the season, that's when I will be able to pay you." So I went to collect the money. And he said, "Here, come into the barn. I'll measure out some grain for you, and that will be my payment, a whole bunch of grain." So he went into the barn with the farmer, and suddenly the farmer became very angry. It seemed that he had also been having a lot of mashka, a lot of alcohol, liquor, and he was drunk. He was in a very, very, very bad mood. And he tied me up, the innkeeper said. He tied me up to a strong pole in the barn with thick rope. And he said, I'm going to kill you, Chas V'Shalom. I thought, of course, that he was joking. He said, No, you must be joking. Don't worry. I said to him, "Forget about paying me the money. You don't have to pay me the money. Just let me go. I have a wife, I have children. This will ruin your life also. If somebody finds out that you, Chas V'Shalom, killed me, you'll go to jail and you'll not be able to live with your family anymore." But I couldn't convince him. He was just in a wild, wild mood. He said, "Where is that axe? Chas V'Shalom, where is that axe?" He was looking around for it because he was quite drunk. He couldn't find it. He said, "Oh, I think it's outside." So he went outside to look for it. went back to his house to look for it, which was a little distance. And I was crying and crying, help, help. All of a sudden, his wife comes into the barn. She says, what happened here? What's going on? And I explained to her, your husband's very angry because he owes me money. And he said he's going to kill me. Please, please let me go. Well, she said, no, I can't let you go because then he might want to kill me. He's very violent. He's a very angry person. Don't worry, I said to her. Don't worry. Let me go and go right back to the field where you were working, and he'll never realize that it was you that let me go. And I tried to convince her and tried and tried, and finally she was convinced. So she untied me, and then she ran back to the field where she had been collecting vegetables. She could tell her husband that she didn't have anything to do with it. And meanwhile, I ran from the barn as fast as I could, because I knew that any second the farmer would come back with an axe and Chas v'Shalom want to, you know what. And so I ran as fast as I could, but I was so exhausted and so frightened from the whole event that I couldn't run anymore. And I just hid in some very, very thick bushes. I hid there until I would be able to go further. Maybe after it got dark, I'd be able to leave the area of his farm. But all of a sudden, I heard him coming, and I crouched down in the thick bushes, hoping he would not see me. And I heard him looking around and looking around and looking around. He was so close, I could actually feel, I could actually smell his breath, which was, of course, full of unpleasant-smelling drink that he had drank and everything. I was so scared, but he didn't see me. He didn't realize I was there. And in a few minutes, he left. I waited until it was completely dark. And I knew that he was probably asleep or something and drunken and asleep, and that now it was maybe safe to go. I got up and I ran as fast as I could all the way back to our house. And that's what happened. The wife said, really? Baruch Hashem, and you are safe. But let me tell you a story now. This afternoon, at the same time that this was happening to you, all of a sudden, the Rebbe Marash came to our house. I was out in the back, and I didn't realize. And he came in, and he started saying Tillim with our sons, with our boys. So when I came back into the kitchen, I heard this beautiful sound of Rebbe Marash saying Tillim with all of his heart, and our boys saying Tillim together with him with all of their hearts. And it was so sweet. It sounded like, almost like it must be Malachim, like angels. It was such sweet saying of Tillim. And they were saying Tillim and saying Tillim and saying Tillim. And after a while, Rebbe said, okay, that's good. It's enough. And he went to the door. But suddenly, when he got to the door, he stopped and he came back and he said to our boys, let's say some more Tillim. And they said, more Tillim. And then he said, okay. And then he left. Wow, said the innkeeper, said the husband. That's amazing. That means when I was in the barn and I was in danger, the Tillim of the Rebbe Marash and our sons saved me. Hashem listened to the Tehillim, and he saved me. He sent the wife of the farmer who let me out, who untied me, and then I ran. But I wasn't out of danger because I was too tired to run more, and I was hiding in the thick bushes. And then another danger came when he came looking for me, and that's exactly when the Rebbe said more Tehillim with our sons. And then, because of their Tillim, Hashem helped me again, and the farmer didn't find me. And then the Rebbe left, because at that point I was safe. I was able to run home and get here and not be hurt. Baruch Hashem. And that's the story. And what does the story teach us? It teaches us the tremendous power that there is in saying Tehillim. That we say Tehillim, the truth is, we don't have to wait until there's danger. We should say Tehillim every day. That helps to prevent danger. But the power of Tehillim, we don't know. We cannot say in words how wonderfully powerful it is. In fact, I think it was the father of the Rebbe Nachman, the Tzemach Tzaddik said, if you knew how powerful the saying of Tehillim was, you would say Tehillim all day long. Can you imagine that? If we really understood how powerful is the saying of Tehillim, how much Hashem helps us when we say Tehillim, how much bracha, how much blessings it gives to us, that Hashem gives to us when we say Tehillim, we would say Tehillim all day long. Thank you for joining the story of the day. Have a wonderful day.